Our scripture lesson today is from the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, reading verses 27 to 38. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. And then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone will become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This is officially the latest I've ever started a sermon in the hour of worship. So I've been kind of going, yeah, I got to cut that. So let me just talk for a minute, and then we'll try to finish fairly close to on time. I was so impressed by that presentation that Janie did, that Michelle put together, because of you see so many people who were involved in letting us have this day today. And Roger Decker's grandson, Roger Decker's grandson, right there. Yeah, because Susan's your mom, Roger's. Right, it is so cool. It's just so cool. And last summer, I went back to the church I was pastoring in Georgia. It was called Gum Creek Presbyterian Church. And they were doing their, I think, 100th celebration. And they brought back several of the pastors who had been there. And I had been there in the late 80s, like from 87 to 93, something like that. And there was a guy who came a few years after me whose name was Kyle Henderson. And he is actually in Bishopville, at the Presbyterian Church in Bishopville right now. And the reason I know that is because at my mom's graveside ceremony, he was the bagpipe player. He was playing pipes because Bill Caudle had another gig. And so I went, "Kyle, you're here, man." So anyway, he and I had kind of regrouped there, and he spoke after I spoke. And one of the things he said was so cool that I think we need to hear it today. And he said, "We draw water from wells that other people have dug." Now think about that. We draw water from wells that other people have dug. And that means, you know, we're so about us, but there's not a one of us that's here that is here just because of us. It's because of the work that all these people have done and all these people that have gone before us. And yet we are also digging wells that other people are going to draw from. And I was so impressed with the amount of work that was being done this weekend and this week. You know, when you get out there, you'll see it, you know, so much with the tents and the tables and chairs and getting PA and music out there, TV out there. Norin's doing his famous grilling and barbecuing out there. And it's just amazing how much work is being done and how much we're doing, how much everybody's doing. And I just want to say that I think as we do this, and I do this as a pastor, somewhere in there the thought occurs to us, why? Why are we doing this? Why are we giving up this time? There's so many other things we could be doing. You know, in a different generation, there wasn't much else to do, you know? In this generation, there's lots to do. You ever just go on Netflix and start scrolling? How many movies you could watch at any given time? It paralyzes me. I'm like, well, I could watch that, I could watch that, I could watch that, I could watch that, I could watch that. We have so much. So why are people doing work for the Lord when you could be doing so much? And I want to say that in this day when lots of people are leaving the church, and lots for good reasons in a lot of cases, the fact that those are in the church and are doing this work, that shows our faith. That shows that we identify with Jesus Christ, that Jesus is with us, that we say, okay, I'm following Jesus. And we've had 60 years here of people following Jesus to build this great sanctuary. Even when I was a supply preacher and I would come here, I just thought this was a cool place. I really did. I thought the sanctuary was very cool. And of course, the people. But I think this is the thing that's in our scripture lesson for today with Peter. Jesus asked Peter, who do other people say I am? And well, yes, the disciples said. And then the disciples say, oh, you know, John the Baptist, Elijah, one of the prophets and everything. And then Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Jesus did not ask that because Jesus didn't know who he was. He's not asking him to tell him who he is. He's asking Peter, he's trying to see who Peter identifies with. How does Peter identify Jesus? And that's when the lights come on for Peter. And he says, oh, wow, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. And it really causes a big argument because Jesus says, you're right, and I'm going to have to suffer, and I'm going to have to die. And if any one of y'all come after me, you got to take your own cross, and you got to bear your cross, and you got to deny yourself. And they went, whoa, 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 whoa. No, the Messiah is supposed to be like coming in on a white horse and like whacking people and everything. No, the Messiah denies himself. And so if you read that little question right there, anyone want to become my followers, they let them deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. That is, no wonder it's hard for churches to be filling up with people. If that was your advertisement, hey, come here and you got to deny yourself. You know, people, why would anybody do that? Because everything is about being more, getting more and everything. But there's something about it. There's something about knowing. That was so cool with what Maggie and Jesse were saying, you know, in their statements of faith. Something about that light coming on and going, this is the truth. This is it. This is where I belong. How am I doing on time? Okay, I'll tell one more story, and then I got a quote, then I'm done. Yesterday, Annette and I went to Wake Forest Homecoming. I went to Wake Forest. And we went to the, we didn't go to the ball game, thankfully. But we went to, it was the meeting of the African American Society at Wake Forest. And we were, I think, the only white people there. The president of the university spoke and then left, but we were the only white people there. It was all African American folks. And they were celebrating 50 years of the Black Gospel Choir at Wake Forest. And the reason we were there is because the choir started in 1974. And they had this great great piano player named James Harrison, who was their piano player. And so then at the end of his senior year of 74, he graduated and went to medical school. And they looked all over Wake Forest to find a piano player for the Black Gospel Choir. And that finally came to me because I had a jazz group and I was playing jazz. And they asked me if I would be the piano for the Black Gospel Choir. And I said, it would be an honor, but I've never played. I'm a Presbyterian. I've never played gospel. And so they gave me the stack of records. And they said, well, and then James helped me learn to do it. And so that year, 1975, I was the second pianist for the Black Gospel Choir. And it was a wonderful experience. They were so giving and so considerate and so encouraging. And I finally did learn how to play gospel on piano and not just jazz. And I've always appreciated that. So it was a brunch. It was a 10:30 brunch yesterday. And so we're in line, and there's this couple kind of right beside us. And you can see them kind of looking at like, now, who are you and why are you here? And I just kind of said, I was the second piano player for the Black Gospel Choir. They never had another white guy, ever. But I was the second one. And now it's a big deal at the school, and they got a line item in the university budget, and they are really, really something. And so when they were asking people to speak, they said, do you want to say something? And I went, yeah, I want to explain myself. But as soon as I was able to talk to people and say, here is why I belong. I was the piano player. As white as I am, I was the piano player in the Black Gospel Choir, and that is why I belong here. And this is why you belong here, because you are participating in the life of this church today. You belong here. You belong in the fellowship of Jesus Christ because you are here today. And we all got all kinds of stuff going on in our lives. And there's all kinds of reasons to never darken the door of a church again. But this day right here, you belong and you identify with Jesus Christ as a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm so happy we can do this together. So my big quote, I'm discarding so much. I hope you appreciate it. I'm discarding all kinds of stuff. But I want to close with this one. And it's talking about identity and about finding our identity and stuff. And what we don't find our identity in is by Henry Nouwen, Five Lies of Identity. I've quoted it before. And so these are lies about our identity, okay? One lie is, I am what I have. Another is, I am what I do, like my job or whatever. Another lie is, I am what people say or think of me. Another lie is, and this is the most powerful one, I am nothing more than my worst moment. We all got them. We all got one, at least. And that is not who you are. And the other side of that is, I am nothing less than my best moment. You know, it's in between. Your identity is in what you are, as you're here and you're participating. And you're being part of the community of Jesus Christ. And you've had bad times and you've had good times. And you've had people talk bad about you. All of that stuff. And that's not your identity. Your identity, you're a follower of Jesus Christ. That's who you are. And that's who I am. And in that is where we find fulfillment. The last thing I'm going to say is the old worn out illustration of the toaster, that he put bread in a toaster and you push down the little lever and the glows. The object of that electrical current is the bread, right? The object is the bread. But if you grab that cord, it heats up. And we're like the cord. The Holy Spirit goes through us. The object of the ministry may be somebody else, but we heat up. We heat up, and that's what happens as we do work for Jesus Christ. So I'm so glad you're here. I'm going to stop right there because we're about to be off the radio. But Absolutely. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And I'm so glad we can be together as a community that's following Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that we can find our identity in you and in your followers. Thank you for this church, for those visionary people who started this up. Bless what we're doing so that we can indeed minister in this church for another 60 years. In Jesus' name, amen.